السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. So we got some construction carrying on, so there is a bit of noise. I hope you can hear over the noise. جی, so we're discussing Surah Al-Fatiha, and we have discussed the first four ayat, the first four verses. The fifth verse, fifth, sixth and seventh verses are or comprise of dua. The first three verses, we're praising Allah Ta'ala. The fourth verse is between Allah Ta'ala and His slaves. Right? We say that only You we worship, only You we seek help from. And the last three verses, 5, 6 and 7, these are a dua. We are making dua to Allah Ta'ala. So after having realized the greatness of Allah Ta'ala by praising Him, after having realized that we can only worship Allah and we can only get assistance from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, right, then we now make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Because only Allah Ta'ala can help us to be obedient to Him. Only Allah Ta'ala can help us to remain on Sirat al-Mustaqim. So we make dua, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Now we're making this dua in every rakat of every namaz daily. That, oh Allah, guide us onto the straight path. Right? Now, if you work it out, minimum, how many times a day you'll make this dua? Fajr time, you'll make it four times. Four rakats, each rakat is only Surah Fatiha. Zohar time, minimum 10 times. Right? Because say you don't read the two nafal. So you have to read the four sunnah, four faraz and two sunnah. So 10 times. So we've gone 14. Asr time, minimum 4 times. Right? So that makes it 18. Maghrib time, minimum 5. So 23. And Isha time, minimum 9. Right? So that's 32. So 32 times a day, minimum, we will ask Allah Ta'ala for Hidayat. This is how important Hidayat is. So, Hidayat implies walking the path of truth. Walking the path of truth. Hidayat is among the things a person requires from Allah Ta'ala when he seeks help from Allah. He's asking Allah Ta'ala to give him Hidayat. And Hidayat is the greatest bounty. Over and above health, over and above wealth, over and above everything, Hidayat. Hidayat is the greatest bounty. Because if a person doesn't have Hidayat, he will suffer eternally. He will suffer eternally in Jahannam. Even though he may have enjoyed riches of the world, pleasures of the world, right? He may have had a top life. Right? You take, for example, the actors, actresses, musicians, sports players, how much they earn? Big money. Right? They earn big, big money. And they're living it up. They own real estate in the most expensive parts of the world. Right? They may be owning more houses than they live in. Right? More motor cars than they can drive in a month. Right? So many things they own. But when they die, what's there for them when they die? When they pass away, Jahannam. Jahannam, fire, punishment for eternity. Right? And a person on the other hand, he could have been a pauper, he could have been living on the streets, doesn't even have a shack, right? He doesn't even have decent clothing, doesn't know when last he ate a decent meal, but he got iman. He got iman and he passes away. Eternal pleasure. So hidayat is the greatest bounty from Allah Ta'ala, right? Now, the question that some people ask is that I already brought iman, right? I'm already reading namaz. I'm already following the deen of Allah Ta'ala. I'm trying my best to follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So why is it then necessary for me to ask for hidayat? A person who is on kufr, a person who is on shirk, a person who is not living an Islamic life. So it makes sense that that type of a person needs to ask for hidayat. But I've already brought iman, I'm already a namazi, I'm already following the sunnah, why do I have to ask for hidayat? Right? So, the reply to this is that the person who is not on iman, when he is asking for hidayat, then he is asking to come onto iman. The person who got iman, when he is asking for hidayat, then in other words, he is seeking istiqamat. Right? Because after becoming a believer, there is a chance, there is a possibility that a person can lose their iman also. So many people became murtad. Sometime for a handsome face or a pretty face. Person now falls in love with a handsome face or a pretty face. Right? And now that person is a Christian or that person is an atheist. And that person says that no, I'm only prepared to marry you if you accept my religion. Or you must leave your religion. There was a great sheikh. That's why we must never think that it can't happen to me. Right? There was a great sheikh, Alusi, Baghdadi. I'm trying to think his first name. I think it was Abdullah. So, he was a great sheikh. He had students, he had murids. He used to go around having talks and lectures and whatever. So he was traveling and he came to this place and his gaze fell on a woman. His gaze fell on this woman and he was so smitten by her that now he didn't want to leave this village. Now he can't tell his murids and all that what the problem is. So he told them, he said, "What, you all carry on, go back to Baghdad." He was from Baghdad, from Iraq. He said, "You all go back to Baghdad, go back to the Khanqa and carry on with your zikr and everything. I got some work here." So he follows this woman to her home. He sees where's her house. And then eventually he plucks up the courage and he goes to the home. He goes to the home. He meets with the father. Right? Now initially Shaitan will deceive you. No, you're going to get married. You're not doing anything wrong. You're talking to her not because you're doing anything wrong. You're going to get married. And the girl also, no, I'm going to marry him. We're not doing wrong. I mean, we are serious now. We're going steady. We're serious because we're going to get married. We're not doing wrong. And he's helping me to stay pious. See, after I started talking with him, I don't talk with any other boys now. And the boy will say the same thing. This is all dhoka from Shaitan. It's all deception from Shaitan. Right? So, this Abdullah bin Alusi Baghdadi, he went to that home and it turned out that this was a Christian family. As a Christian family, and the father was a priest. So the father told him, "No ways, I can't get you married to my daughter. You're a Muslim, we are Christians." So he tried this way, that way. The father said, "No ways, I can't give my daughter to you." Eventually, the father told him that, "See, I can give you my daughter on condition that you accept Christianity." So he by then had become so desperate, he wants this woman, that he agreed. He said, okay, I denounce Islam and I accept Christianity. Allah save us. So the priest told him that how am I going to know that you're speaking the truth? Maybe you're just lying to me. Like how we say, you know, when somebody, you get a non-Muslim person, falls in love with a Muslim person and say, now you have to accept Islam to get married. And they accept Islam. Then what we say, they only accepted Islam just to get married. We can't judge. We mustn't judge. But you hear people talking like this, right? So now, the father said that, no, maybe you're just saying like that, but you're lying. If you want me to really believe that you have accepted Christianity, you must wear the cross. So he did that also. He started wearing the cross. Then he told him, no, now you must start studying the Bible. He started doing that also. Then he told him that, no man, you must drink wine also. Because we Christians, we drink wine. So he started doing that too. Then he told him that, no, the only way I will really know, the only way that I will really know that you have really truly accepted Christianity is you must rear pigs. Because you Muslims, you all hate pigs. We eat pork. So you must rear pigs. So he started doing that too. He is rearing the pigs. Right till that point, you see, when the hidayat is taken, now it's not our brain that made us Muslim, it's Allah's mercy. If Allah Ta'ala removes that, we'll be lost. So this person, he was a big sheikh, big alim, but see how he got lost. And he's doing all these things and he's still not realizing that, hey, where am I going? Eventually, after doing all this, the father still not giving him the girl. Eventually the father told him, see, the only way you'll convince me is you must stand on the Quran. You must stand on the Quran, then I'll know that really you have left Islam. Now this side, all this is happening. That side, the murids, they were pakka murids, not like today's time murids. Today's time murids, if they want to eat mutton kalya, they come for overnight program, you give them chicken kalya, they say, hey, you're going to find another khanka. So now, they were pakka murids. They say, look, our sheikh also is human. So he got caught up now in a trap of shaitan. Right? So, let's sit and make dua for him. He benefited us so much. We were all caught up in so many gunas. He helped us. We took bay'at to him through his teachings, through his counsel. We changed our lives. Now, bichara, he's caught up. We can't just now leave him one side and go on our own way. We have to worry about him also because we benefited so much from him and we can still benefit from him. So they all got together. They crying to Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, give him hidayat. And this side, the priest is telling him, you must stand on the Quran. So now when the priest told him, stand on the Quran, you see the effect of these people's dua. Allah Ta'ala gave him hidayat. Now he told the priest, here, bhai, take your cross, take your pigs, take your Bible, take your wine, and I'm out of here. You go. In the meanwhile, these murids, they had so much yaqeen on their dua that Allah will accept their dua. So they sent a group. They say, you all go back there and bring him back to us. So a group of them departed and they're going now to this village where he was. In the meanwhile, Allah's mercy already came. Allah's hidayat already came. So he had left this padre, this priest, and he was now already started his journey back to Baghdad. So on the way, you see, when you want to make tawbah, don't delay. When you want to make tawbah, don't say, alright, when I reach home, I'll make tawbah. No, in Ramadan, I'll make tawbah. No, in Shab-e-Barat, I'll make tawbah. No. Tawbah, as soon as Allah gives you the tawfiq, Allah gives you the thought that by change your life, make tawbah. You make tawbah same time. So on the way, he left that priest, he came to a stream. He took a ghusl in that stream. He took a ghusl, made himself park, and now he read the shahadat again. He read the shahadat again. He read two rakats namaz, salatu tawbah, and he is crying and begging Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. While he is doing that, that group is coming. They say, it is our Hazrat here, man. What we think now is, he was caught up there, but there is, they got so happy that now Allah Ta'ala has given him hidayat again. So they came, they met him, he met them, said, Charo, let's go back. He went back to Baghdad, back to the Khanqah there, and he carried on his work. You can't become despondent by mistakes anybody can make in life. Make your mistake right. Don't worry about people. Right? You made a mistake, no problem. Pick up the pieces and carry on. Our Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to explain it very beautifully, you know. He used to say that if you're walking, right, and you slipped and you fell in the gutter. Now in the gutter there's all napaki. Number two, number one in India those days, all everything will be flowing there in the gutter there, right? So now all that napaki is there in the gutter, you fell down inside. Now what you must do now? Now you must run there, see where I fell down. Hey, what happened to me now? Why I fell? If you sit there and you carry on making stories like that, what will happen? More najasat gonna come on you. It will go in your nostrils and your ears and everything. Hazrat used to say that. So now your duty is what? Wake up from there quickly. You fell, you slipped, you fell. Now wake up from there quickly. Find the nearest bathroom. Go and bath yourself thoroughly. Get a new set of clothing, fresh, clean set of clothing. Put it on. Put some ether and everything. And then continue your journey. You're going to sit there and lament, now I fell down inside the gutter here. So like that, shaitan sometimes he pulls us into the gutter of guna. He pulls us into the gutters of sin. So we can't remain there. But see what happened to me. I was in anim and I went and did a thing like that. No, boy. Whatever the guna may be, Allah Ta'ala is Ghafurul Rahim. Allah is ready to forgive us. So immediately we must wake up. Go and bath ourselves in tawbah, istighfar, use the water of our tears. Cry to Allah Ta'ala. Ayn the heart out in sajda. You know how you take the ayn and press on the clothes. Take the forehead and press on the ground. Ayn the heart out in sajda. And then start making ibadat. As you make ibadat, you'll be perfuming yourself now. All the stench of guna will go away. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah is the friend of the people who have brought iman. Yukhrijuhum min al-dhulumati ila nur. He takes them out from darkness, he puts them into light. The shaitan, what is his work? He takes the people out from light and put them into darkness. So now, you make tawbah, you make istighfar. So this sheikh, he made tawbah, he made istighfar. He went away back. He didn't now say, no, hey, I'm too embarrassed to go there now. What the people will think of me. No, you don't worry about all that. He went away. And he carried on doing his work. He made tawbah and carried on doing his work now. And Allah Ta'ala gave him so much of acceptance that whatever murid he had, students he had, all that, much more than that started coming to him, benefiting from him. Right? Now one day, he's in the Khanqah now, and he's having his majlis. Now, there's a knock on the outside gate of the Khanqah. So the person who was in charge now, what we'll call like a security, he went to check there. Is a lady. So what you want? So no, I need to meet the sheikh. So but lady is not allowed in the Khanqah. So no, you go tell him. I need to see him. So the security, he's baffled now. How come a lady came here? He went there, he's telling the sheikh, this is the story.
check, say, no, no ladies are allowed here. Ask her what's her problem, where she's from, maybe she needs something, maybe she's a musafir, she got some problem or something, you can assist her. So the security went back. So she gave her name. I'm from that village. He was madly in love with me. Now I was also in love with him, but my father was the barrier in between. But now Allah has blessed me with iman. I brought iman. So he came and told him. He said, you tell her she must go away from here. She must go back. We don't want her. She sent a message back. She said, see, I brought iman. My family has thrown me out. I can't go back. I can't go back there. I got no one now. I got nowhere to go. I got nothing. So, you all can't throw me away now. So he said, okay, no problem. On the corner of the khanqah, one room was there. He said, take her, put her in that room. Tell her she mustn't come out. She mustn't come out of that room. She must stay there. Whatever she needs, she must communicate it to the security via paper. And we will get it for her there. She can sit there, make Allah Allah, and pass her days for as long as she wants to stay there. But he never went to her. So some of the people, they told him, they say, see now, you really wanted this woman in your life, right? Now she's a believer. Now she's right here by your doorstep. Now there's nothing wrong, you can marry her now. Marry her, no problem. You know, the answer he gave. He said, the beauty of that face, right, which turned me away from my Rabb, I don't want to see that face again. So the beauty of that face, which turned me away from my Rabb, those windows. I mean, they're cutting this side now. Close the door. Too much noise this thing makes, eh? When they cut the concrete, it makes a lot of noise. Gee, so what he said? He said that the beauty of that face, which turned me away from my Rabb, that I don't want to see that face. I made a tawbah, and I don't want to see my face. So he lived like that in the khanqah, knowing full well that she is there, but he never married her, he never seen her again until he passed away. She lived there until she passed away. That was a true tawbah. Right? So we must never feel that I got hidayat today, so automatically I'm going to have hidayat for till I pass away. No. We have to keep making dua to Allah Ta'ala. One is we ask Allah Ta'ala positively, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Ya Allah, you keep me with istiqamat on the straight path. And then also when we're making hidayat, it means Allah Ta'ala must take us to a higher level of hidayat also. Isn't it? A higher level. One is istiqamat and one is a higher level of hidayat. Right? And we want to pass away with iman. Then Allah Ta'ala taught us another dua also. Rabbana, la tuzigh qulubana, ba'da idh hadaytana. O Allah, cause not our hearts to go crooked. In other words, it mustn't go off the straight path after you have given us hidayah. So we have to keep making this dua for hidayah. Because only Allah Ta'ala can keep us upon iman. And never look down on anybody. Ulama mentioned that why the Shaykh was put through this test. See, he was on his travels, right? So in the village before that, they passed by some Hindu people. And these Hindu people were busy worshipping their idols and, you know. So he looked at them with contempt. people, he looked at them like, look at these people, how foolish can they be? You know, he looked at them with contempt. So Allah Ta'ala put him in a test to show him that, see, my Abdullah, your remaining on Hidayat is not because of you, it's because of me. So you hate kufr, you don't hate the kafir. Understand? You hate the sin, you don't hate the sinner. You look down on kufr, you look down on the sin, not the sinner. Understand? Allah Ta'ala, you are so fake. So even though we are believers, we have to still ask Allah Ta'ala for Hidayat. Okay, we'll stop there for today. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.